But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Brendan again for part two with one of my favorite people on earth, Mr. Brian Anderson. No, not you. Not you. You be quiet.
Aww. It's never me.
No, it's never you. You know what? Like, I only brought you on board because you could do Twitter.
That's true.
And I can't.
I tweet like a mofo.
Yeah, and I'm an idiot when it comes to that. So, Brian Anderson, welcome back to part two, even though like this will all be one episode, but welcome back. It's great to talk to you again.
Oh, you too, Scott. Brennan, you're one of my favorite people too.
You know what really is shocking right now? Like this crazy picture you have with this amazing ponytail.
Oh, thanks.
When
almost
was that?
Almost mullet-esque.
Really?
When was this awesome Braveheart ponytail you had?
Oh, that was probably October.
Wow.
Yeah, or November. I think I cut my hair right before I met you.
Wow. Now, when you went to the Renaissance Fair,
I've been there actually. I went once. It was so boring.
Did you play the lute there?
No, I was a guest.
Did you drink mead?
No.
I like mead. Mead is good.
What is mead?
Mead is basically wine made from honey.
Oh.
Ooh, we intrigued him.
Mm. Wow.
We had to go out and get drunk on mead together, the three of us.
Yes. But I just learned because I was talking before with Brian before we started this interview that he doesn't drink. I said, you know, it's a snow day, so you could have a couple beers and relax. And he said he doesn't drink. Why not, Brian?
Well, there's so many alcoholics in my family.
Yeah, you joined the club.
I feel they did the drinking for me. Join the club, yeah? You can relate?
Yeah, tons of alcoholics.
I know, so like I just decided to give it up and not drink and avoid bars and
probably
I used to like to dance in clubs.
So no, what are you asking for, like a virgin Shirley Temple or something like that? Or?
No, I just drink Coke, but now that I know about mead, maybe I should try that. But that's still alcohol because it's wine.
No, Brian.
That's amazing. The honey ferments and it turns into wine.
Anything with sugar ferments. So you could basically ferment like an airhead.
That sounds like an experiment.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, when we left off on the last interview, we basically went through your childhood years, like up to high school. So this is like the confidence period of your life coming up.
Yeah, well, I think after college, and then after working for 4 years at a law firm. Then I started to build my confidence. But
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Fordham.
For what?
Fordham University. I majored in classical languages.
Oh, man, you're coming in so bad right now.
Yeah, we're starting to die out a little bit.
Oh,
You touch the wire, it's come back.
No, it's just a connection thing, I think. Brian?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You sound good now. So where did you go to college?
I went to Harvard University.
Wow. A lawyer.
You get a scholarship, yes. Or did you pay for it on your own?
That's none of your business.
You like, didn't go to Harvard. You went to Fordham. God. The gays are such. They're hard to gaze.
I'm just kidding, Michael. Yeah, no, I went to Fordham. It's the Harvard University of the Bronx.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like any college. You're like, it's the Harvard University of Morris County, New Jersey.
Right, but the Bronx is special because J-Lo is from there.
Oh, J-Lo, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't take classes together, but she danced nearby.
Now, can I, okay, so in college you had come out already, right?
No, I was afraid to, and then I was, I think what I told you last was that I couldn't be gay in New York because of my family, so I left, I went to California. And I came out there.
So you came out to get a little bit of like confidence and
right,
acceptance to see. First.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to like actually admit it and then experience it and see all the debauchery that goes on and then there's parts where it's people are just friendly with each other, and the parade. I saw the gay parade, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it, just because I don't like parades.
I hate parades.
But it was.
I hate parades.
Know,
I hated parades all my life, and then I went into television as a in college, and I got out and worked for a TV station, and that was half of what we filmed. It was like. Oh, it's the Flag Day Parade. Oh, it's the Memorial Day. Like, I think a parade is just a way to create more traffic.
That's funny.
I didn't mind it growing up.
You're right.
Go on, Brian.
No, do you like parades, Michael?
I did back in the day as a kid, but nowadays I could care less about anything, you know? It's kind of like Scott said, it's like... I mean, number one, you got to get there 2 hours to get a decent seat or sit by the curb, or else you're pretty much 20 feet away where you can't see anything.
I picture a Michael Berlew family parade is like where like you bring out the skins of the animals you hunted and like you just march them down the street.
Got some possums here. This is a good parade.
Yeah. We're going to cook them up. Cook them up at the end. So Brian, like what I am noticing about you, just through talking to you is like, you're very independent, correct?
Right.
I'm noticing that now. Like you're not like a lot of the social things that like people would associate with like homosexuals and things like that. Like you seem to not be, you know, completely into that. 100%.
Right. I don't want to get married. I overheard this gay man saying, well, I should really take advantage of marriage. I should marry someone because it's like an opportunity. And I just couldn't believe he said that because it was like he was implying that this was like a menu at Red Lobster, and he could get the coleslaw with his lobster as an addition.
So gay marriage is lobster.
Like
fest,
I just
basically.
Felt like it was just yeah, gay marriage is Red Lobster. And,
wow, that should be the next parade motto.
That should be the next commercial for Red Lobster.
Right.
No, Brian, you came out, you said, after college now? I guess I was mistaken.
Yeah, I came out after college. I mean, I would say I've been out for like 10 years or so. So I feel like I've mastered it. Like I'm like a doctor of homosexuality.
Yeah. Berlew majored in that in college. He failed.
Yeah. I went to gay community college. Didn't work out for me.
Oh, Michael.
Couldn't pass any of the exams, and I was terrible.
You know why? Because you're too heterosexual.
That's what my professor kept yelling at me. It was terrible. I'm like, no, I'll study. He's like, nah, you're straight, bro. Get out of here. I knew it was bad when he called me bro. There was no way I could be gay.
Right.
But you still blew
it. But you know, most.
Well, I mean, I had a good start to my college.
You had to get an A.
Yeah.
Did you go to GAY University?
I couldn't get a scholarship to there. I mean, I sent them an application. It just didn't work, you know. I mean, they told me to write a paper. I talked about a good looking chick in school. Like, you know, get out of here. I just didn't get the concept.
You know, you were brave. You were daring. That's pretty ballsy try that.
Now, Brian, after you had come out, like, that has to be a humongous relief. Like, that has to be, like, a suppressing feeling for a long time. Like, even, people are not happy about it or something like that, it has to be an amazing feeling for you to just get that weight off your chest.
Yes. It felt, less stress. Yeah, I can relax and just be myself. Also, it's also scary. I mean, you there's always a fear of being, they call it fag bashing, to be a victim of that. Mm-hmm. So that fear never goes away. But I'll give you an example. Like recently I went to Uniqlo and I wanted to buy these pink gloves because they matched my blue jacket. But then and it wasn't like a hot pink. It was like a lavender purple. Uh-huh. It was a nice color, nice shade. Mike Berlew would look good in that shade, a lavender shirt. And I didn't get, I didn't buy the gloves because I didn't want to get made fun of or beaten up for it.
Okay. Now, you know, like post coming out, you took your trek to California and experienced the nightlife and like you said, the parades and whatnot. What made you come back?
I looked around at the pastel colored buildings and the palm trees and I said, this is not me. I'm an East Coast person.
I'm so glad you said that.
I wanted to go back home.
I'm so glad you said that because I hate that. Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing I have a problem with. Like, you know, gay or straight or whatever, like sexuality is only, you know, whatever one you want to say, a percentage of your life, you know, like it's not who you are or what you do or what you do on a daily basis. And I feel like you have the stereotype of gay people that got to go to San Francisco or they got to go to Grand, but like, to me, that's, as a straight male, it'd be weird.
You like vanilla ice cream.
Right. It'd be weird if they were like, you like to have sex with females. You need to go here. Like,
right.
But
imagine like your band, you have to go to Kansas or Siberia.
Yeah. So, like, I always, that's the one problem I have with, like, the,
stereotypical thoughts.
Right. But the stereotypical, like, gay thoughts, like,
yeah.
And I think sometimes even gay people might succumb to that more than anything. Like, I have to go here. No, you don't. Your sexuality is your sexuality, and it should be kept private regardless of what you are, straight, gay, you know, metrosexual, transgender. That's only a tiny part of your life.
Uh-huh.
Like, to me, I don't sit there and go, man, I am a straight man, like, all day long.
Yeah.
Like, you're a gay man. Do you think about that, like, a lot all day long? Or, like, you know, you're probably thinking about your career and your work and your interests and your hobbies and things like that. Like, I don't know. I always, it's weird to me.
Well, I was in a local deli, and I saw this guy, and he, I was attracted to him, right. And that's when I realized I'm gay. And then I kept looking at him, hoping he would look at me, but he didn't. And it's the worst feeling when it happens a lot. Like, I'll see someone that I'm interested in, but they don't reciprocate, and it's rejection. And
but
I don't know what they're thinking.
But here's
in
my
their
question.
Head, but
is,
what?
But that happens to anybody. That's not,
yeah.
To me, that's not a gay thing. Like, that's life. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not dating right now, obviously, because I'm married. But Berlo, you could probably talk about this.
What gay bars do you go to, Michael?
You know, I mean, I don't go to a lot of ton bar. I mean, when I go to bars, I just go to pretty much.
Drink,
but I mean, I go to social places to try to talk to girls, and it's kind of the same thing as you discuss.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, it's like you see that certain someone. I mean, I'm not the most, say, I'm front direct. I'm kind of shy in my way, so it's kind of like I try to wait for them to kind of give a look over before I try something versus like running up and going, hey, how's it going? So I can understand your thought process on that.
No, I completely understand that, but I don't think it's a...
it's not a gay thing.
Exactly.
It's a,
I think that's life. Like, how much... Yeah. All of us have fell for someone and wanted to be attracted to them and wanted to talk to them more, and they're not interested in us. And
yes, and it happens so much.
But see, that's my dilemma, like, people are so quick to judge, but it's that's just going through life. Like, life is full of disappointments and full of rejection and full of things you build up in your head. You build them up in your head, and they never turn out the way they're supposed to, in your head. They're not. They never.
That's why they call it life. That's why they don't call it predictable.
Right, and like, I mean,
that, or hell.
Right. That's what's crazy, but like being gay to me has nothing to do with that per se. I mean,
no, I hear what you're saying, that sexuality should just be kept
in the bedroom
or if you're
in
an exhibitionist in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it shouldn't be an issue at work, on vacation, in the church. Did you hear Judy? Judy's opening her own church.
Oh, good.
Judy Watson, yeah.
She is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Scientology, watch out.
Now, Brian, I got a couple questions for you. I wrote them down.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I'm honored.
Now, gay stereotypes, okay? What are the truest gay stereotypes? The ones that we think of, but they're pretty much true. We'll start with that.
So I should give you the stereotype and then say if it's true or not.
Right.
Let's see.
Let me throw one out. How about gaydar? Can gay men figure out that other guys are gay just by looking or instantaneous?
That's a great one.
That's that, Michael. That's a smart one. I don't have good gaydar. I only know if you're gay if you're flamboyantly gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're a like there's a lot of men that I see that are built like they're muscle. They're called muscle queens because they're built
muscle.
But
queen.
Their voice is so it's so queenly, like so, like hey girlfriend, you know, like
what do you? But that's another question. Before you even get to that, what's with the voice? Like, do you think that's just a genetic thing?
I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think. I mean, a lot of times on the phone, people think I'm a woman, and sometimes in real life. But I always say, well, you know, I inherited my genes from my mother and my father, so it's like if you're truly masculine, you get all the genes from your father, and none from your mother.
Well, unless you have a real butchy mother.
Yeah, but no, but everybody has a masculine side and a feminine side.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you're masculine, you're not really allowed to show it, your feminine side.
Okay.
Like, don't cry in public.
Let's go back to Burlow's question about the gaydar.
Yeah, gaydar is true. There is gaydar. I'm not very good at it.
When you saw me, was your gaydar going off?
No, I thought you were cute.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I even said it on the Johnny Watson show. Plug. And yeah, and then you were nice too.
I'm very nice.
So no, but I had a feeling you were straight. Just by what you were wearing.
Yep.
Flannel.
So you're saying that flannel and shitty jeans and a crappy hat makes me straight.
Yes.
Huh. You're right. You're right.
Your wardrobe did you, man.
You're right. Yeah.
No, but you were still
damn
cute,
Salvation
but I was
Army.
Like, oh, but he's straight. Like, he's, you know, I like your coloring and your eyes and your beard.
Oh.
And I didn't know you were on the show because I never really watched the show. I always listened to it. So, but you have a nice voice. And Michael Burlow too. Like you have really,
he might be the first person to ever compliment my voice.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's very nice if you have a, duct tape buried in the woods fantasy, but other than that,
some guys like it rough.
No, but like it. But his voice, Michael's voice, is very sexy. Like it's, he would probably be good at talking dirty to his female admirers.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, when she's dead, you can say anything you want.
Scott, don't be giving out my tips. Come on.
But did you ever hear that, Michael? That your voice is really unique. It's like I could listen to it all day long.
Wow. This is a first.
Yeah, instead of
really?
Watching a horror movie, he just listens to you.
What are your thoughts on Doug Max's voice, out of curiosity? Let's throw it out there.
Have you ever thought about killing yourself while listening to Doug Max? Because I have.
You know, his voice is, it's good for comedy because it's, stands out like it, you always know it's him. You always know it's Doug Max if you're listening to the show.
That was the nicest way of saying. that was the nicest way of saying I used to have a computer.
It's good to know when he's on.
How's he
from his voice, so I can change the channel. You know.
No.
But he's very, I think he's He's neurotic.
You're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, gay guy, we went through the stereotype, but what about the biggest stereotype of gay guys? Like, people assume this of you because you're gay.
That I have sex. I have casual sex.
All the time.
All the time.
Yep.
And
judging by when we met together at the coffee shop, that is true.
That's why you guys met.
Nope. No, but I can see that. I can see that. People think like, you know, because people fear the opposite. So they think that and they throw that, you know, ridiculous stereotype out there to make them fear things more.
Right. And I'm, you know, for a while with sex, I wanted to have, you know, there's an expression called really good sex. And I've only had it once or twice.
It's sad, but a lot of the times it's expression.
Yeah. That's foreign.
Oh, really?
But
really? Like, oh, like how we're, how, like women ask this question. Oh, how was he in bed? Oh, he was really good. Like, you're really good in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that expression?
Yes, yes.
So it's sort of like that. Like, it's something that was so good that you want to have it again. But in my case, most of the times, the sex has been very awkward, uncomfortable, strange. You know, like it's... if someone... questioned me about my sex life, I would say it's not that great.
Right.
You know, it's not something I do think about it, and I try to pursue it when I can, but it's not always on my mind.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, and that's exactly what I'm trying to get through with this interview. It's like, yeah, like he's a gay guy. He's probably has the same thoughts that we all have, like, you know, sex is the thing in the back of our mind that we're all driven by to a point, but it's like,
right.
I also have my work and my creativity and my art and my family and all that. Like, it's only a sliver of life. And that's what I was trying to get at with this interview. It's like, you know, it sucks. Like, if you're gay, all of a sudden that becomes like your whole identity.
Right. Right. I think you're brilliant to see that the gay stereotype is not true, that gay people are just like straight people. I mean, you're very articulate. The way you just said it, it sums up the difference between, there really isn't a difference between gay people and straight people.
Well, yeah, there's a difference. They like one sex or the other, but in the end, you still have to pay your mortgage or bills,
right,
or rent. You have to pay your phone bill. You have to go to work. You have to find a job. You have to find an income. And that's
right. There's no gay phone bill or
right.
Or,
well, I wish I had a gay phone bill.
Hello, AT&T. Yes, I'm afraid you sent me the wrong bill.
Yeah. AT&T.
This is a very hetero bill. I can't accept this.
Yeah. Right. Listen, exactly.
I'm tired of you giving it to me. I want to give it to you. You know,
I'm going to sprint.
But right. Here's the thing. It's like to me, like I have, like I admitted on the last interview that, when, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. You know, like I had probably grown up with like one gay person that I knew, and you don't hear it from like a Catholic, Irish Catholic family.
Right. They're all in the closet. Usually.
But the thing is like.
Or the priesthood.
Right. Exactly. Or an altar boy. But you just realize, like, this is the thing that drives me crazy. Like, we have elections in this country driven by issues of gay marriage, abortion, things that will not affect the large population. Where,
well, I think the aborted babies will affect the population, technically.
Okay, Berlew. Okay. But what I'm talking about is things that... What like, I always say this. If you took your most left-wing friend and your most right-wing friend, whatever, Democrat, Republican, and you asked them about what they want, here's what everyone wants. I want to work. I want to make money. I want to be able to retire one day. And I want to have health care. Like,
right.
Is that not everyone's, like, wish? So you take...
Yes.
You basically take left middle and right middle, and you combine them. And they disagree on very minor things. And that's all that is a figurehead thing of trying to throw them to the right. Like, oh, I disagree with this, or religion. Like, all of a sudden, religion and sexuality gets involved, and it ruins the whole election process. Which is why I will never declare myself anything, because I hate everybody. I will not. If you are sitting there being like, I love gay marriage, I love freedom, this and that, and you're buying the fucking Democrat guy that's up there spewing the Democrat Party speech line that they wrote for him, or if you are Mr. Right-Wing Conservative and just... and you're believing every word that some guy says, that speech has been written 300 times for him, you got to see through that. You have to see through that. Mm. Everyone wants the same thing. They want to work, retire, live comfortably, and be able to provide for their family and have health care. And that's about it. No, who wants anything more than that, other than people who have means that I'll never have, like, other than the super rich? Everyone just wants to work, retire one day, and enjoy the life, and just want their family taken care of. I don't give a shit if you're gay, straight, you want to marry an animal, if that dog can provide, I don't care.
Well, my favorite argument. Well, my favorite thing, argument against gay marriage, is somebody's like, well, if a man can marry a man, why can't a man marry a dog or marry a like, car or something?
Take the human aspect.
It's just
out
so
of it.
Ridiculous, the thought process of stuff. I mean, I even find it hilarious how they talk about, well, gays can't be married because, you know, marriage is a religious term, yet we're supposed to have separation between, you know, government and religion. So, but we still give them like tax breaks if you're married and stuff.
If I can,
yeah, that's a good point.
If I could marry, if I could marry my dog, I probably would have. He's the perfect partner.
Yeah,
he loves me regardless. We never argue. We love each other no matter what.
Right.
And you know what? In the end, I'm in charge.
Hmm.
Yeah,
Scott, you can only marry one. Is it Brian or Obi?
Well, you know, Brian's got some issues.
Ooh, wait a
minute.
Fuck, kill, marry, Obi, Brian, and Julie.
Oh, God. Kill Julie. marry Obi, and then I guess I'd bang Brian, I guess.
Ooh. Ooh,
congratulations,
Brian.
But here's the thing. It just
How's Tuesday for you?
It just drives me crazy. Like, oh, gays can't get married. Now. If my neighbor is married to a tree, or a dog, or a person, how does that affect my everyday life? It doesn't. Are they working? Are they getting special gay benefits? No, there is no such thing. Because you got to make your way in this world, regardless if you're gay or bestiality or you're trans. You want a little bit of both? Go ahead. It doesn't affect any of us. It doesn't affect any of us. And you know what? I love the idea of just I guess this might be more Republican than Democrat, but just keeping your doors shut. Like, it's no one's business what goes on.
Goes on. Yeah. Right.
That's why I don't declare myself anything, and I hate politicians, because elections are driven by hot button issues. That's it.
Right.
Hot button issue. Now, say your neighbor has a baby and they don't want it because they can't afford it. Well, let's make them have it. Let's make them have the baby, and bring another person in the world, and they can't afford it. So the baby's going to be mistreating, and you know, like, I just don't get it. Like, it's just common sense. And you take, like I said, you have your extreme lefts and right, and you take your best friend who's left and your best friend who's right, and you just, you combine the middle, you all want the same thing. You all want the same thing.
Right. I think if most straight men could give birth and they had the option to choose abortion, they would. And there wouldn't be an issue. It'd be like the right to vote. It'd be
I don't think you even have to say straight men there. I think you could say if men could give birth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If any type of man could have a baby and could abort it, men are not very nurturing. I mean, it's the women who are the nurturers, usually, most of the time. Yeah. But you know, it's just, it's weird. It's weird for someone to say, you have to have this baby. You have to carry it for 9 months, and then you have to give it up and let someone else raise it if you can't afford it.
Here's another thing that bothers me.
Then there's like 3 hurt people in the world.
Here's another thing that bothers me. We are allowed to be, we're allowed to agree on science if it's in like the automobile industry or the drilling industry. Everyone agrees, but when science comes to like personal life and medical stuff, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, a book that was written by a bunch of people who translated a story anyway controls the government?
Right. It's a story. It's like Harry Potter.
But here's the thing.
It's a guide.
The story is about having good morals. That's all it's about. People take it word for word. Like, God made this earth in 7 days. No, he didn't. He didn't.
No.
7 days. You know, maybe 7 days is translated to 7 billion years. Sure.
Right, right.
My view is not right or wrong, but I'm just tired of people, like, taking something that was written as a moral compass and translating that to everyday life. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I love how it's always how we're all made in God's image, but as our world's turning, God is the same from that story 7 billion years ago. He doesn't like this. You can't do that. I really love this new Pope where he's sitting back and saying, guys, the reason nobody wants to be a part of religion is because we're not changing.
We don't evolve.
Right, right. Well, I know the Jewish faith, they haven't changed a single thing, but they are doing well. They don't. With the Catholics, they change the rules. Like, Mass used to be in Latin, now it's in English. If you're an altar boy, you're considered jailbait and a target, but if you have a lawyer, then you're off limits.
Yes. So what it comes down to is just
what I'm trying to say is that, like, some people like the Catholic religion, and they get something from it, and I understand that. But when they ask for money, I always just keep thinking all the money is just going to go to lawsuits or paying off damages that an altar boy was taken advantage of. Like, it's really like, don't ask for money. I mean, the money is going towards lawsuits. It's not going towards fixing your church.
Yeah,
or
it's not going to the new tar on the roof.
Yeah. Now, Brian, I know.
And who knows where it goes?
Hey, Brian, yes, I know we kind of established, you know, you're as we talked as a humans, that your whole life's not revolved around your sexuality. But out of curiosity, Westboro Baptist Church, pretty much the scum of the scum, basically have their whole basis around their hatred for homosexuality. I mean, what are your thoughts about them? Do you just consider them ignorant? Do you consider them mean?
Is this the Baptist Church?
Yes, the God hates fags people.
Oh, I don't really ever think about them. I mean, maybe if they tried it, they would feel, they probably wouldn't like it, but it's not that, I mean, sex is so weird. I mean, I don't know why. Usually if you're very passionate about God hating fags, you're usually probably a hidden homosexual. Mm. I mean, I was friends with this man who would take pictures of people, of these leaders, that these fundamentalists who would say, you know, being gay is wrong and God, it's against religion or against God. And they would say that during the day, but at night they were, you know, singing I Will Survive at the gay bar and hitting on boys and guys. And and my friend caught him, and he turned that into a whole foundation. I think it's the truth speaks out. But yeah, I mean, it's so crazy that the can you help me with that word?
Hypocrisy.
Yes, thank you. Of these religious men, you know, it's a scary world, and that's another scary place.
Well, Brian, now that you are confident, you're making a living and everything, like, what's on the horizon for you? Like, what are you?
Well, I'm moving back to my parents.
Okay.
Because I can't afford New York at all.
What are you doing right now? Art?
But, no, actually, well, I'll be honest. I moved back with my parents a month ago.
Okay.
And I like living with them. I mean, my mother and I have little arguments, but for the most part, it's sort of fun being part of a family. You know, like, I was living on my own in this boarding house with really odd characters, and I wrote this down in my journal. Just accept that the police will be here every day, and that parole officers will come to the door. And once I wrote it out, I realized, oh, I don't want to live like this anymore. It's just
right.
So now,
what are your goals, Brian? Like, what are your goals right now?
I want to make more money.
Well, other than the obvious.
No, just because it's money will buy heat for the winter. It will buy food. Just to keep up with the basic needs of
life.
Living in 2015, it's always about money.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I guess it would just be to, how about this? How about making money through the arts?
Yes.
Every week.
Now, do you have any desires to go back to stand up, or?
No, because I feel like I don't know. It's so, I just don't, I'm afraid of people, really.
Well, what do you think if I do get a second show at this Dover place, what would you think about you coming on?
I would trust you. I would. Yeah, I mean, I think if given the opportunity, I would do stand up again.
Even if it was like just 5 minutes, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, no. Once I'm up there, I'm fine. And
I think you should pursue it. To be honest, you're a really funny guy. You have
Oh yeah.
The best thing about you is you don't take yourself too seriously, like some people.
Oh no, not at all.
And what's great about that is, it doesn't matter, straight, gay, religious guru, blah, 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 Republican, whatever. You don't take yourself too seriously. And I think that's one of the keys to being a comedian. You don't. Even your deepest thoughts, you find yourself flip-flopping all the time. Like, I find one of my things as a comedian, I can't find what I truly believe in. It's just at the moment, and like sometimes it's an act, sometimes it's a, you know, and you have that quality in you, and you should do it.
Oh, thank you.
Like even your sports reports and your,
the Super Bowl thing with Green Bay was great. Yeah. I mean,
thank you, Michael.
We're doing the Baby It's Cold Outside. I love that you appreciate the humor in it. Like,
yeah. And you let me sing the man part.
Exactly.
The masculine part.
But you have
you know what it might be? I think a lot of funny things happen every day, every week. So if I just talked about it.
Yeah.
You should
join our
material, really.
You should
join us when we talk to Johnny, you know, about writing, because that's what we basically do. We just
I don't think you should stray away from stand-up. I really think you have a
you have a unique character.
You have a unique character. You're not shy.
You talk about, you know, being gay, but you're not overly, like, it's kind of like it's not stereotypical. You don't go for the obvious punchlines.
Right, it's not like I'm Italian. I only make Italian jokes. Yeah, you're going to make gay jokes here and there, but it's all about material first.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm very offended by Johnny Watson's a needle in a gay stack.
Really?
You're not offended.
I find it. No, I'm kidding.
Well, what are your thoughts about Kevin Hall's
witty? It's so witty, though. No, but I laugh at gay jokes. I think I just feel like if you're going to be in the comedic world, you're going to be made fun of. I mean, Alex, that Judas, I started out with him in a class and I thought we were friends, and then he stabbed me in the back with that, by making fun of me, my voice.
Well,
I had no idea. But when I heard it, that's not my style, but
you should do a whole bit about being Alex with kids as Brian Anderson. That would be hilarious.
But when I heard him imitate me, it was funny. At first I was like a little offended, but then I found it funny. And then he said, "Oh, but flattery, it's the highest form of flattery."
Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Well,
yeah, that's the better quote, right?
Well, Brian, I could talk to you for.
You're not talking to him, are you? You're still not. Are you talking to Alex anymore?
Me? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's like. Well, I.
You know what? Like, there's some things you got to accept about me, and I got to accept about you, and we're gonna make this relationship work.
Right. Right. No, I'm just teasing about Alex.
We know. We know.
Yeah. Okay.
If there's one last thing you could say about,
Alex Boccia?
No, we could go for an hour on that. If there's one last thing you could say about how people treat gay people and something you'd like to say, like the public or people like that, what would you say?
I would say that even though a man is gay, he's still a man. He's still a guy. You know, he's still
excellent.
you know, is he's still a man, even though he's gay. He's not on the level of a woman. Like it's, you know, like I always feel like there's the alpha male and then the beta female, and you could be a gay alpha male or you could be a gay beta male.
Because there's no such thing. It's all just a term.
Right, right. Yeah, I think we have to stop using labels. I think that's it. Okay. No more. Get rid of the labels.
Brian Arson, do you have anything you could plug? Like, we could check out your art or check out your stand-up. Like, where can we go see you? Or your stuff?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I have a lot online. If you Google Lady Saga, my name will appear, and there should be cartoons. And if you Google Jewish Madonna, my stand-up will pop up.
I'm gonna do that right now.
And or if you Google Brian Einerson, B-R-I-A-N. E-I-N-E-R-S-E-N. Oh, and Backstage Confessions. That's my my web series.
Yep.
I'm at this acting studio called the TGW Acting Studio, and I interview students about their scenes, and I try to make it funny and
entertaining.
That's what I would like to promote.
Okay.
And our wedding day is going to be in June.
No, I like October. It's my favorite season.
Okay.
Michael Berlew, thank you for joining me. As always, my sidekick. But Brian Anderson, I have so much more to talk to you about, but we got to make it an episode and not a trilogy.
Okay.
So, I would love to, even if we're podcasting, you just come on and like throw in your opinions and whatnot.
I would love to be on your view.
This is the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Bye, people.